Hello, everyone. Welcome back. And thank you for joining us on the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast, where every week, Jeff Glover and his coaches will dive deep into questions that you are asking. They understand the challenges you're facing on a day-to-day basis and still work every day on the front lines of real estate, with Jeff and his team closing over 1,000 homes per year. In today's episode of the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast, Jeff shares more insights and strategies for listing presentations and what it takes to make them win sellers. He discusses the key questions we need to be asking in the listing presentation and how to perfect your process. Now, let's hear from Jeff Glover.
Let's talk about the pre-listing and the pre-qualifying process. So there's a script out there. It's called the pre-qualifying script. Most of you have probably seen it by now. So I'm just going to give you, in my opinion, the five questions that you always ask. This is a discussion that you have with the seller prior to going out. You cannot skip any of these questions. They are by far the most important questions on the pre-qual script. And I don't care what order you ask them in. I don't care if you leave off some of the other questions. Do not go out on a presentation without asking these five things. And you'll want to write these down. This is my favorite one. I start off every pre-qual conversation with this one. And it's coincidentally question number one on the script. And by the way, it is probably the most commonly left out questions. When we talk to agents, yeah, I pre-qualified them. Okay, well, how'd it go? Well, they said they owe this and this. Okay, but did you ask them if they're ready to get the home on the market when you get out there? Well, no, I kind of left that one off. Okay, why did you do that? Well, I didn't want to, you know, make them upset or sound pushy. It's not pushy at all. Listen to the logic in this question. I do not go out on a listing presentation without asking this question of every single seller, and I ask it two or three different ways until I get an answer that I'm satisfied with, and that is this. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, we appreciate the opportunity to go to work for you. I'm looking forward to meeting with you Tuesday at 4 o'clock, and I just have a couple of questions. The first question I have to ask is, if what I say makes sense, and you feel, I'll repeat this a few times, if what I say makes sense, and you feel 100% comfortable and 100% confident in my abilities of getting your home sold, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, before I come out, a few questions. If what I say makes sense, you feel 100% comfortable and 100% confident in my abilities of getting your home sold, will you be ready to get the home on the market? Mr. and Mrs. Seller, if what I say makes sense, you feel comfortable and confident in my abilities of getting your home sold, will you be ready to put me to work? Okay. 8 or 9 out of 10 will not say yes. 1 out of 10 will. By the way, I love that seller. 1 out of 10 will say yes. Yeah, I think so. If what you say makes sense, we'll be ready to go. And you know what? I've got a really good feeling when I'm going out on that one. The other ones, I'm not asking the question because I want to just automatically get a listing. I'm not asking the question because I feel like I just deserve it and I'm only going to meet with you if you're going to sign with me. That's not why I'm asking it. And that's why it's not a pushy question. I'm asking the question, and I think this is the number one reason why a lot of agents leave this question off, because they don't actually understand the true logic behind it. And that is, I'm only asking this question to see what's stopping them from doing business with me or anyone right now. I want to know right now the objections before I get to the house. If I leave that question off and they say to me when I get there, well, you know, Jeff, we're really not thinking about doing anything until the summer, so we appreciate you coming out and we'll let you know. Okay. It would have been nice to know that before I decided to go on that appointment. Or, well, you know, my husband's up north right now, and he's on vacation. He's in a skiing trip. He won't be home until next week. So if you could just, you know, share with me, and I'll share with him, right? Okay, no. I don't want to be on that appointment. And I would have found that out if I would have asked the question, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, if what I say makes sense, and you feel 100% comfortable and confident in my ability of getting your home sold, will you be ready to put me to work when I come out on Saturday at 10:30? Well, You know, the thing is, we've got a few more interviews lined up. Ah, okay, they're meeting with a few more agents. Not a problem. I understand that. I respect you interviewing agents. This is a big decision, isn't it? Yes, it is. Okay, great. And I'm making a note of that. Whatever they tell me, I'm not fighting them on it unless it truly doesn't make sense for me to go out on that appointment. But I want to be prepared. And when I ask that question, I will be better prepared for that appointment because of the answer that they give me. Number two. And if you're writing this down, I want you to write in parentheses personality style. Mr. or Mrs. Seller, depending on who I have on the phone, because I usually don't have them on speaker, will you please describe your home for me? Sounds basic, but let me tell you where I'm going with this. Will you please describe your home for me? Who's been on the call when you've asked this question? Well, let's start with, we've got stainless steel nails that we've used to make sure that there's no squeaks in the floor. We've got 18 and a half, I'm sorry, maybe it was 18 and three quarters. Honey, do you know, what is the insulation in the attic? You know, they're telling you these things that don't matter. But what I'm doing is I'm identifying who they are. By the way, who was I just describing there? Okay, the high C, the analytical. Right, so I'm able to pick up, right, the driver. What do you need to know? Don't you have that information? Okay, he's a driver. Yep, you're right, I have that information, and I appreciate you sharing that with me. I'm gonna do a little bit of research before I come out. Next question, right? I'm finding out who they are, and I'm adapting my style to them, but that's one of the quickest ways to find out the personality style of the person you're presenting to, and by the way, in most cases, the other one is the opposite, right? Next question. You can't leave this one off. When I see you, what price do you want to list your home for? When I see you, what price do you want to list your home for? Pretty basic. Well, first of all, what am I doing there? I'm assuming that I'm going to get the listing. And by the way, all through the entire presentation, it's an assumption. It is the ultimate of assumptions. From start to finish, that I'm getting this listing. There is no question in my mind, I don't care if they're interviewing others, I'm getting this listing. So I'm going to talk to you like I already have the listing. The dialogue that I use in the pre-qual script, and from the minute I'm greeting them at the door, hey, thanks for having me out, I'm looking forward to going to work for you, and more importantly, getting your home on the market and getting it sold. Thanks, if you don't mind, if you could show me the kitchen, I'd appreciate that. I'm assuming the listing from the start. Oh, wow, this is a gorgeous backyard. This is really going to show well on our internet marketing. I'm gonna make a note of that. I'm assuming the listing the entire time. So when I see you, what do you wanna list your home for? And of course, in most cases, they don't have a number. Well, that's why we're having you out, Jeff. Okay, good. Follow-up statement to that. It's a question. It's a statement with a question. As a professional real estate agent, I study homes and prices every day. Therefore, I assume you'll list your home with me at a price that will cause it to sell, correct? No matter what they say. Well, we were hoping you would tell us. Well, we were thinking 250. Well, we really don't know. Well, we've got four interviews. Well, I really need you to take a look at my basement and tell me what you think it's worth. Well, our garage is falling apart and I don't know really what the home is worth. No matter what they say, perfect. As a professional real estate agent, I study homes and prices every day. Therefore, I assume you'll list with me at a price that will cause your home to sell, correct? Again, the embedded commands, that's the NLP in there, the language of sales. Finally, I would not leave this one off. Question number five. And by the way, these are in any order. You know, I always start off with question number one, of course, that I shared at the beginning, but you can insert these anywhere into this script. Will all the decision makers be present? Will all the decision makers be present? Well, what do you do when they say no? Well, you know, I tell our agents, you have to trust your gut. Meaning, will this person get offended if I try to reschedule on them when both decision makers are present? And depending on how the call has gone, you don't know until you've gone through that call. So I don't really have a line in the sand on that one. I tell our agents and I do the same thing. I just trust my gut. You know what? This person is the decision maker. There's a good chance I'm going to get a contract signed, and I can follow up with the other, you know, the spouse or significant other later to get their signature. I'm going to go out and present and assume I'm getting a contract signed, and I'm going to ask them to sign the contract, and of course, I'll go back and get the other one later if I need to. Next, the pre-listing package. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I want to make sure you have the following six things in your pre-listing package. And I don't care how fancy it is, how decked out, how dressed up. Just make sure you have these things in it, okay? Number one, your resume of some sort. And by the way, mine's evolved over the years. You know, initially, I was in furniture sales before I got into real estate, so I talked about how I have all this sales experience and how I won sales awards, and I can sell your home just like I sold furniture, okay? I had no choice. I started the business brand new. That's all I knew. Okay, now it's evolved. Now it talks a little bit about, the results that we've had and some of the great things about Keller Williams and, of course, what we're doing as a group. The second thing, you have to have this, a plan of action. A plan of action. And listen, Keller Williams has some great tools out there. Make it your own. You can use the Keller Williams one if you're a year or less in the business or you're just kind of getting started with taking listings, fine. Have an individual plan of action. And simple, one page, clear, concise. You know, you can use pictures, you can use words, whatever you want. Just make it simple. Next, important nowadays, especially with online, reviews. Reviews, not testimonials. Nobody believes testimonials anymore. You're gonna send them, of course, all the good ones. It's okay to send them some bad reviews. Bad reviews actually validate the good ones. So assuming you have some great reviews, send them your reviews. Number four, your market stats, your office stats, your team stats, especially if you're dealing with a high analytical, anything to do with stats, this would probably be the only personality style that I would overwhelm with statistics. Well, that's not my style. I don't believe that we need to go through 17 pages of statistics to determine the value of their home and to help them decide why I'm the one for them. Well, that's because I'm not an analytical. I don't see the value in that. Looks good, makes sense, let's do it. Okay, for you drivers out there, that's how it goes. Well, if I know I'm meeting with an analytical, I can't have that attitude. Otherwise, I'm going to lose the listing to an analytical agent. So I'm almost overwhelming them with stats. Next, state disclosures. You have a seller's disclosure statement in most states. I'm sending those out in advance and asking them to fill them out and having them prepared for our appointment. Assuming the listing. Listen, from start to finish, I'm getting the listing. So I'm talking to you already as if I'm your listing agent, which means I'm going to need seller's disclosures for you to tell me what's going on with the house to help get the price right. Finally, number six, pre-listing package, comps. Comparables, 3 to 5 actives, 3 to 5 solds, the same ones that you're going to bring to their appointment. And while you're at it, a suggested price. Well, wait a minute, how do you do that? You haven't seen the house yet. You can give a range. I'm okay with the range as long as the actual value of the home is right smack dead in the center and you're not going much over than that. Because if you go higher than that, you're doing them a disservice. And I get it. There's going to be some appointments that you go out on, and it's going to make sense to list it a little bit higher than the range you gave because you didn't realize the work they did to their lower level or to their backyard or whatever it was. And that's okay. In fact, I want this pre-listing package to go out, and I want them to see the comps so they call me and say, hey, Jeff, we saw what you sent out, but you know that our home is a two-story, right? Oh, I sent you all ranches? I'm sorry. Yep, I'll make a note of that. Okay. How embarrassing would it be? By the way, we've all been there. If you've been on listing appointments, I've done this. You get to the house. Oh, this is great. You pull up. It looks nothing like what you pulled up in public records or whatever history you had on it. All of a sudden, you're sitting at their table, and for me, a lot of times, I'm looking at the comps for the first time while I'm at their table, and I'm looking at the comps, and I'm looking at them, and I'm looking at the comps and I'm looking at them. Okay, we're gonna two-step this one. So let's go ahead and take a look through the house and I'll get back to you with what I think it's worth. That's gonna happen sometimes. Gotta act quick. Comps with suggested price range, got it. All right, good, next. Oh, this is my favorite. Prior to arrival. Oh, this is my favorite. My first few years in the business. Anybody know that song by the OJs? How's it go? Money, 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 money. So I had a CD, you know, this is back when everyone had CDs in their car. I had a CD and it had one song on it and it was that song. That's it, only song on the CD. And I had a routine. I'd pull in the driveway because it would pump me up. It would clear my mind of whatever happened on the way over there. We have a saying in our office and it's plastered all over. Flip the switch at the door. I don't care what happened to you on the way in this morning, what happened last night, what kind of fight you got into, you know, who kicked mud on you, you know, if you had a flat tire on the way in. Yeah, those are all unfortunate circumstances. But you know what? When you walk through the doors of JGA, you flip that switch and you don't bring it into this environment. Because not only are you harming the environment and the culture for yourself and your own personal productivity, you're harming it for everyone else around you. Flip the switch at the door. Same thing, okay? It's as silly as it sounds. I actually picture when I'm showing up to a homeowner's house and I'm standing on their porch. It's like, there it is. There's a little switch on my back. Flip it. All right, it's showtime. Let's go, let's do this. Ready, ding, 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 all right. Hey, Jeff Wright, I'm a whole different person. It doesn't matter what happened to me on the way there. I am ready to go like I'm on stage today. And it is showtime, and I'm putting on a performance, and I am getting this listing, and I'm not leaving the house without it. That's my mindset, and that's the mindset when you flip the switch. Next, let's talk about the presentation a little bit. Simple steps, make the introduction, share value, consult the property, close to an agreement, set the follow-up. I'm gonna walk you through each one. What was your question? I'll go back. Let them know what to expect at the meeting. Ask them to gather any information needed. There you have it. No, I'm letting them know what we're gonna cover when we come out, which is basically the pre-qualification script. And of course, I'm letting them know that, you know, they've received the seller's disclosure statement. I'm asking them to have that handy and ready to go when I get to the house, because I'm going to need to review that to help them determine the right price. Thank you. Okay, presentation itself. Talk about the introduction. Pretty simple stuff here. I mean, we're all in sales, so I don't need to necessarily talk to you about, you know, have a firm handshake, look them in the eyes. But I do have a few notes written down here. I have written down here, remember, match and mirror, okay? You may think that, listen, I'm pretty good at this stuff. I took 5 listings last month. I got a couple of them pending. I'm just going to show up, and I'm going to do my thing. No, okay? I can't tell you how many lessons I've learned been going out on presentations and presenting the way that I think makes sense. I am molding myself to them from the minute that they open the door. And I'm thinking about the introduction that I need to make, how strong I need to be, how soft I need to be, how fast my rate of speech is, how slow the rate of speech is. I'm having the versatility. Taking a quick tour of the house. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, do you mind if I just set my stuff here on the kitchen table? Great. Let's take a quick look around if it's all right with you. And while I'm doing that, I'll have you take a look at our plan of action. You should have already received it. I'll have you take a look at our plan of action, everything we're going to do to sell your home. And I'm going to take a quick look through the house. Is that okay? Do you want one of us to show you around? Well, if you'd like to, if you'd feel more comfortable, one of you can show me around and I'll have the other take a look at our plan of action. Fair enough? Obviously, this is fast for presentation. I'm not talking that fast when I'm with them. I'm having one sit back at the table and review the listing plan of action. Why? Because I don't really want to present it to them. Okay, I want to get the listing without getting the plan of action. Why? Because the listing plan of action might take me another 10 or 15 minutes to present. And if I can get one to sit back at the table and review the plan of action while I'm touring the house, then all we have to do is when we get back to the table is talk about their goals, their needs, their wants, and the price, and then of course closing for a signature. So I'm sitting, after we do the tour, I'm sitting down at their table. and it's a Q&A-based conversation. It's not this, hey, let me show you everything that I sent you here. I know I sent you a lot of stuff. Let's go ahead and take a look at it. You know what, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I really want to get to know a little bit about you and what you're looking to accomplish. So if it's all right with you, I'd just like to ask you a series of questions. And sometimes, it's the listing presentation script, by the way. It's just, where are you going? How soon do you need to be there? What's your timeline? How soon could you be out of your home? How soon do you want to be in the next house? Why are you moving? How long have you lived here? What did you pay for the house? I'm just going through a simple Q&A with them. It's nothing complicated. It's right there in the listing presentation script. But I'm making it about them. I'm finding out what's important to them in their move. And I'm going through some good questions. You know, I'm getting deep with them. You know, if the home doesn't sell, what will you do? We don't have an option. We have to sell. Okay, I can understand that. Yeah, we have a house that's being built. It's going to be ready in about 3 or 4 months, so we really need to get this house on the market. Awesome. So what happens if your home sells and closes and you're out of this house before your home is ready? We've already arranged for interim living. Oh, perfect. So we can offer immediate occupancy to the buyer. Absolutely. So that's really what it sounds like, and that's what I'm doing for about 5 or 7 minutes. And then I'm finishing that conversation with, okay, great. Let's see if I can help you get this home sold. And I'm going right into, you know, just some specifics of why you should consider us and so forth. And really, it's still all about them. It's not just me talking about our successes and everything we've done. It's all about them, what's going on in the market, some things that they need to be prepared for. Again, I'll show you the infographic in a little bit about our story, if you will. Consult on the property. We talked about this a little bit, right? The CMA, 3 actives, 3 solds. I'm taking out whatever information that I already have about the house, and I'm confirming all the information. We just did the tour, so if I was doing the tour correctly, I would have taken notes. By the way, one of the biggest mistakes you can do is have a seller show you through their house and not take notes. You might as well just tell them that you're not interested in their home. Take notes when you're with the seller as they're walking you through. And by the way, I have all the notes, so I'm confirming the notes I took. Analyticals, of course, love that. Oh, good, he took notes. He's going to remember our house. I'm going with the, I'm confirming how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms. Updates to the home, square footage, anything that they can tell me. We talked about the CMA. Closing, one of my favorite parts. So obviously, once I've shared with them the price, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, do you feel I can sell your home? Very simple, easy close. Do you feel I can sell your home? And by the way, they almost never say no. So don't be afraid to ask the question. Now, they might lie to you and say yes, but that doesn't mean they're going to say no. You know, usually what I get is, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think we feel pretty comfortable with what you've shared with us. Okay, good. Are you ready to put me to work for you? And I zip it. I don't say another word until they talk. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, do you feel that I can sell your home? Yeah, you've given a pretty good spiel here, and you know, we feel like you're pretty well qualified, and we agree with you on price, so I guess we're good there. Great. With a big smile. Are you ready to put me to work for you? Well, we have a few more agents coming out. Darn it, I forgot to ask that question in the prequel. Okay, no, I did ask the question, so I know that I'm already expecting that. And of course, remember, I don't care. I'm not responding to that. I'm not getting worked up about that. In most cases, I don't even care who they're meeting with. I'm assuming the listing all the way through. I'm assuming I'm going to get this listing contract signed. And this is usually where the objections come up. So I'm going to give you 5 rules on handling objections because this is where they come up. If they're not going to come up on the price, which they will, and the nice thing is, there's a price objection script out there. But in this setting, I don't have time to go through the whole script with you, so I'm going to give you the 5 rules on handling any objection, even if it's price. I use this every time. 1, always smile when you go to respond. It sounds so basic, but if you don't think to do it, I guarantee if I went in and videotaped your listing presentations, the moment you get an objection, unless you practice this every single day like I have for the last 13, 14 years, the moment you get an objection, your face is going to be like, and everything is going to change. The tone is going to change. The consumer's going to pick up on you're getting a little agitated and you're not happy with what they just asked or what they said. Everything changes. So since we know that's going to happen, your heart beats a little faster, you might start sweating, you might turn a little red, you're thinking about an answer. Crap, they told me to practice scripts. I knew I should have did this. Instead, I'm smiling no matter what they say. Well, Jeff, you know, we still have a few more agents to interview. Oh, that's right, you mentioned that on the phone, and I can certainly appreciate you have a few more agents coming out. And I'm curious, based on everything I've presented to you today, is there anything you're looking for different in an agent that you hire? Well, Jeff, one thing you mentioned is that your commission is 6%, and we were really hoping to get right. So I'm gonna draw out the objections by doing that. But if you notice there, number one, no problem, what's the objection? Oh, well, we're not too crazy about your price. I can certainly understand that. Number two, always agree, never argue. Number two rule on handling objections. Always agree with what they say and never argue. Well, you know, we were really hoping that you'd be willing to give us a little bit of a discount since we're going to be buying a house through you. I can certainly appreciate that, and ultimately, you want to net the most out of this move so you have money to take to your next home, is that right? Yes, it is. That's exactly what we want. Okay, I just agreed with them. I just told them that I'm with you. I get it. Okay, you'll see where I'm going with this. Number three, always nod your head and watch your body language. Always nod your head. I can certainly understand where you're coming from. I would want to net the most out of this sale too. I'm with you. Always smile, always agree, never argue, always nod your head and keep in mind your body language. Number four, follow up the agreement with a statement of agreement sentence. Right? So my body language and my tonality and everything is saying I agree, but I need to have something to say. So I wrote a long, long time ago a list, no joke, I wrote a list of 10 to 12 statements of agreement. And I don't use the same one over and over because it would sound weird. So, you know, it's things like, I can appreciate that, I understand how you feel, I know where you're coming from, I'm with you on this, I can certainly appreciate your feelings on this. I have 10 to 12 statements of agreements that I wrote out a long, long time ago that just come to mind every time I need to handle an objection. So I always am ready for a statement of agreement. And number five, no matter what, under all circumstances, do not use the word but. Replace it with the word and. Do not use the word but. Replace it with the word and. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I can understand, you know, where you're coming from, but I don't really think that it's going to make any difference, right? I mean, how could you possibly gain any agreement or continue the level of rapport that you have when you respond with something and use the word but? It's like saying, I love those shoes, but with that dress, I don't know. They forgot everything that you said about the shoes and are only paying attention to what you said about the dress. The but negates everything before it. Think about in our everyday human language, how often we use the word but or however. The word however is the same thing, it's just dressed up a little nicer. However means but, okay? So replace the word but and however with the word and it's amazing when you get the habit of doing this day in, day out, you start to write emails. And you start to have sentences in your emails where it's like, and have you considered, and you know, I was wondering, and you're using the and over and over and over and over and over, and you're causing people to continue to listen to what you have to say versus negating everything you set up until that point. Finally, the follow-up. Prep them for what's about to happen. set up for the listing process, let them know what's going to happen after the contract signs. When possible, get their agreement on the next step while you're at the house. Schedule photos, take the photos. Schedule the lockbox, put the lockbox on. When you're out on a lot of appointments and you get a lot of contracts signed, from time to time, they're going to have a change of heart. There's less of a chance they're going to have a change of heart if you've already went to work for them. If you've been on listing appointments, you've got contracts signed, we've all gotten this call. You know, I hope it's still early enough to cancel. We've just had a change of heart. We changed our mind. We want to go in a different direction. It happens. If you're going to go on a lot of appointments, it's going to happen. It's less likely to happen if I've already started work. So while I'm at the table, I'm scheduling photos. I'm putting the lockbox on. I'm putting a sign in the, I'm doing something to show that I'm starting work on it. Less likely that you'll get a cancellation. And if you don't get the contract signed, which, by the way, I said when we started this, from now on, you're all getting 60% or more of the listing you go on. And if you're already getting that number, then you're not going on enough appointments with people that you don't know. So since we know there's going to be some that we don't get, we're setting up a follow-up date, and no matter what they tell us, we're cutting it in half. If I'm out on a Saturday and they say, yeah, you know, we got to just give us until Wednesday or Thursday, I'm calling them Monday. And I'm acknowledging, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I acknowledge that you said you wanted to wait until Wednesday, and it's Monday. As you can tell, I'm pretty proactive and anxious to get your home on the market. And I just want to be sure you know, just like I'm following up with you right now, I'm going to be following up with buyers for your home the same way. You do want a good salesperson, don't you? Well, yeah, we do, but we just need a few more days. Not a problem. Just wanted to make sure I demonstrated my follow-through. I'll call you on Wednesday. Have a great day. Cutting the time in half, I'm acknowledging that I'm calling early, and I'm letting them know that this is exactly how I'm going to follow up with buyers when we have their home on the market. Remember, I'm always assuming that I have the listing. Okay, I promised you, I think I have one or two slides I want to share with you. We've talked about this. This is your presentation, visuals, showing versus telling, so forth. This is just a cover sheet for a listing plan of action that we take out. And then this is the infographic that we use when we go on listing presentations. So I have a mix of Keller Williams information on there. I have a mix of specific things that we actually do to sell houses, things that I believe would be important to consumers. We've put it on a one-page infographic. People like these infographics nowadays. You got the data. It looks dressy. You know, it's got the Keller Williams red in there. It pops. That is our, in my opinion, that is our resume. So when I talk about put a resume together, even, and by the way, for 7-8 years, I use a sheet of paper with lines on it. So it's not like I'm some, you know, genius that has been using this forever. So this is simple stuff that you can put together. We just got with a graphic artist on this and put our information together. A couple key takeaways. Remember, selling isn't telling, it's asking questions. Okay, your visuals and the way you present need to match their style. And I think I have a note on here, just kind of a sidebar. Okay, I know some of you take out digital presentations. I don't recommend the digital presentation. I don't want the batteries to die. I want to leave them something of value at their home. So I hear all the time, oh, we do this cool iPad presentation. Fine, if you're using it, it works for you, great. I believe in something that's traditional, leaving it behind if I don't get the listing because I know I'm going to be super aggressive in my follow-up.
Thank you for taking your time to join Jeff today on the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast. To get started on having an unreal business, take the real estate self-assessment. After you complete the assessment, a member of Glover U will get on a call with you to create an action plan to improve your score. Go to www.gloveru.com/self. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, search for Live Unreal with Glover U on iTunes, Podbean, or Spotify, and subscribe today. Until next time.